Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 14 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara opens with a Dibur Hamasa, with a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Hatachtoi Noisein Es Hatikra V'chule. In our Mishnah, on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Mudbeis, the lower Mishnah, we saw a case of a double-story structure, and we'll call it a ground floor and an attic, where there was a tenant in the upper story, and the floor of the upper story broke, an opening developed. How large the opening was, it was already a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and the Mishnah itself featured a machlokes Tanoim, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yossi, as to who is responsible for the repairs. So, as far as what's called the Tikra, the ceiling of the lower story, which forms also the floor of the upper story, there is no disagreement between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Both agree that the owner, he who's called in our Mishnah the Tachton, he occupies the main facility, the ground floor. He takes care of the Tikra. There is, however, a machlokes concerning the ma'aziva, the plaster that's used to coat the beams. The Tanakama tells us that the balabayas, the tachton, the lower guy, takes care of the ma'aziva as well. And Rabbi Yossi says, regarding the ma'aziva, the elyon takes care of that, the tenant in the upper story. Now, we turn to the Gemara, and we ask, my tikra. In the Mishnah, we saw that the balabayas, the owner, the landlord, he takes care of the tikra. What is meant by tikra? Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Omar Kinim v'Sanoyim. Rashi, regarding these words, says something that resembles machzolus. Machzolus would be a type of woven work. Rashi says Ma'ase Tikra Kein Machzolus. Machzolus often is a reference to mats. It seems to be some type of crisscross work that is fixed into place that serves as the tikra. The next opinion, this is a name, Ustini, quotes his Rebbe, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Ustini, Omar Reb Shimon Lakish, Levochim. Levochim is a plural of word luach, which for our purposes would mean boards, planks. Rashi uses the French word that would appear like the English word planks. Planks or boards. Velo pligi. There's no disagreement between these two opinions. Marki asre, umarki asre. Each one, like in his asre, in his area. In different areas, there are different methods of house construction. So in one place, they would use kinim snoim, and the other place, they would use levochim. Hano beitre davu dairi. There were two people. Now here we're not dealing with a tenant and an owner, but rather two owners. One, they both lived in this structure, Chadi loy chati tatoi. One lived in the upper floor and the other in the lower floor. Ifchis ma'aziva. The plaster crumbled. The tikra remained in place. Kimoshimaya loy, when the upper guy would wash his hands, and water would fall on the floor. Again, we emphasize this is a floor that's we'll call it an exposed floor. The plaster that's usually used to cover the floor, which is at the same time the ceiling of the lower structure, the plaster crumbled. Now, as a result, the plaster was a form of, for our purposes, waterproofing. Now it's gone. So when the upper guy would wash his hands, Ozli, the water of the upper guy, Ozli Umaski Latetla, would go and damage the lower occupant. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Omar Ha'elyon Mesakein. Reb Chiya says it's the obligation of the upper guy to do the repair, to provide the plaster and do the work to repair the situation. Reb Eloi Mishum Reb Chiya Bar Yosi Omar Atachtoin. Reb Eloi, quoting Reb Chiya Bar Yosi, says it's the job of the Tachton, Hamat Tachton Mesakein. He is to do the repair. For Simon, in order to remember who holds what, if you look at these names carefully, you'll see that the number one is a Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and in number two, Reb Eloi is quoting another Reb Chiya Bar Yosi. So the Reb Chiya name could be confusing. So which Reb Chiya says what? So remember the following pasuk: V'Yosef, which sounds like the word Yosi, Hu Rad, which means lowered, was descended Mitzrayimah, descended, was brought down to Egypt. So that if you go back over the Shitos, it was Reb Chiya Bar Yosi that said Hatachton, the lower guy. The lower guy is similar to the word Hurad, was lowered down to Egypt. So with that, you can remember that it was Reb Chiya Bar Yosi who spoke of the lower one having to repair the Maziva. Now, the Gemara asks a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking. And then following the long question, you'll see even a longer rejection. In other words, in what we'll be suggesting in this question, namely an analysis of the machlokis between the two opinions, Elyon versus Tachton, will present a suggestion as to what they are arguing about. That's what the long question represents. Namely, can we say that they are arguing about the following? And then when the Gemara rejects it, the Gemara will say, no, you can't set up the machlokas as was suggested. And you'll notice that we have a crown marking, and on the side under our mivneh, our structural note, we have featured a crown. But even before we read the structural note, we will read our nosa, our topic heading, which reads Machlokes al michal chovas harchoka, upon whom is the obligation of distancing oneself in a situation of damage. Al hamazik laharchik es atzmo. Do we say that the obligation is upon the instigator, the causer of the damage, the mazik, the one who is proactively creating the damage, so he has to remove himself. O al hanizak laharchik es atzmo, or is it the obligation of the one who is the victim to distance himself? And we want to use these concepts and apply it to the Elyon versus the Tachton, who is responsible for the repairs. So now we continue in the Gemara with the note concerning the crown marking, which we will now read, the Mivneh in the margin before we read the text of the Gemara. The crown that you see here, and then a number of lines later, and by the way, there's also a numbering scheme along the side of the Gemara text. Nisyonos attempts lahamid machlokes Reb Chiya Bar Abba v'Eloi kemachlokes Tanoim Rabbanan v'Reb Yosi. We will see an attempt to set up the machlokes Amoraim that we just had. Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who said that the Elyon does the repair, versus Reb Eloi. Reb Eloi in our Gemara quoted Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, but the Gemara makes reference to Reb Eloi that the Tachton repairs would seem to parallel a machlokes Tanoim, earlier Talmudic sages, between Rabbanan and Reb Yosi. Now the Gemara. Lema Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, who represented the obligation of the Elyon, he is the Mazik in this case. He was causing the damage. The Rabbi Eloi, and Rabbi Eloi said the lower guy has to do it. He's the victim. Shall we say that their machlokes is biplukta the Rabbi Yossi Rabbonon Komifligi? And the Gemara goes on to spell that out, as we did in our introduction. Laman di Omar ha'elyoin mesakein, according to Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, who said the upper one has to do the tikkun, the repair, and the elyon was the mazik. Kosovar al hamazik laharchik es atzmo mina nizak. He will hold like, and we'll tell you now ahead of time, because we haven't seen the names yet. We haven't seen where the Tanoim appear. But we're going to suggest that he who says that the Mazik is Marchik Es Atzmoi holds like Reb Yossi, that would say HaMazik has to distance of the offender, the causer of the damage, has to remove himself from the victim. Umor Oman di Omar Tachton Mesakein, and Reb Eloi, who says that the lower guy does the repair, the victim, it's the obligation of the victim to distance himself from the perpetrator. And that opinion would parallel the Rabbonon, or the Tanakama. So you see, we're making reference to Tanoim without actually having seen the source in which they speak up. Before we go further, let us take a look at the Rashi. Rashi that we're going to look at together is in the upper half of the page, in the narrow lines. Beplukta de Rabbi Yossi Rabbonon de Masnisen. The thinking right now is to parallel the Amoroim to Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon in our Mishnah. I mistakenly said that we hadn't seen these Tanoim. The reason for that mistake, as you'll see very shortly, is we're going to present Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon again in a source that we haven't seen yet. But in truth, we saw Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon in the Mishnah, where the Rabbonon, the Tanakama in the Mishnah, said that all of the repair obligation is on the lower guy. The lower guy is the victim. And the opinion of Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba said the upper guy, he would seem to parallel Rabbi Yossi, who said that, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, who said that the upper guy has to take care of the maziva of the plaster. We now, I just want to add another detail, so it's not a detail that might sound a bit confusing, but in the presentation of the names, we had a simen for Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. That was to point out, or to make clear, that Reb Chiyo Bar Yossi is the opinion that says that the lower guy has to do the repair. And we cited a posuk, the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. What's the point of confusion that might arise is that as far as the Tanoim are concerned, it's actually the opposite. As far as the Tanoim are concerned, Rabbi Yossi, who in the Mishnah, don't confuse Rabbi Yossi with the father of Rabbi Chiyo in our Gemara, Rabbi Chiyo Bar Yossi, they're different people. But Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah seemed to represent the opinion that the upper guy has to do the repair. That's what he said in the Mishnah, that the Elyon takes care of the maziva. The Tanakama said the Tatan takes care of the maziva. So with all of that in mind, shall we say that the machlokas between Reb Chiyo Bar Abba and Reb Eloi parallels the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Rabbonon and Reb Yossi? At this point, the Gemara rejects. If you want to use those names of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, you're going to come out with a totally different story. Vetisbara. Now, explain yourself. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, Le'inyan Nizokin Pligi, are you saying that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan in the Mishnah are arguing concerning an individual who is being damaged, who has the obligation to distance himself? We have heard them to say just the opposite. As far as Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, what are they arguing about? That will be a discussion later on. We'll see that where the Gemara will ask concerning the Tanoim and the Mishnah, a number of lines down from here. If you notice where the end of the long rejection marking is, if you note where that line is, the line after that, toward the end of the line, there you'll see the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan d'hocha b'mai pligi. The Tanoim in our Mishnah, which are in fact Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, what are they arguing about? Because up till now, if you're going to say that their argument concerns al hanizak or al hamazik laharchik es atzmo, you're going to end up with the opposite of what we have thought. We're going to end up with the opposite of what we have presented. And where is that opposite reality? This not. We continue reading in the Gemara. So just to restate the last point, namely, if you're going to explain the Tanoim in our Mishnah in terms of who has to be Marchik es Atzmai and say that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah who said that the upper guy provides the plaster which would indicate the Mazik has to distance himself, and the Rabbonon in the Mishnah who said that the lower guy provides the maziva, which would indicate that the nizak has to distance himself, v'ha ipcha shamin on lehu, as we read in the Gemara, we have heard them to hold the opposite. Namely, if you're going to want to analyze Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon, you're going to actually come out with the Rabbonon speaking of the mazik having to distance himself, and Rabbi Yossi saying that if the Nizak wants to preserve his well-being, the Nizak has to distance himself. This none. And then we have a Tanaic source in which this will be revealed. Following this, we're then going to have to ask ourselves then, what are the Amoroyim, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Eloi, arguing about? So in the meantime, we're telling you that if you want to speak about the Machlokes Tanoim, the Rabbonon versus Rabbi Yossi, listen to the following source. This source deals with a topic that's discussed in the second parak of Bava Basra, a tree as a source of damage to someone else's, to a neighbor's bor, pit. A tree naturally has roots that extend forth from the bottom in all directions, and in one of the directions there may be a bor, a pit, on the other side of someone's fence, but roots extend underground. A fence between two properties isn't going to impede the growth of roots. Therefore, there are rules concerning distancing that are in place. And with that background in mind, we continue with the source. Marchiken es ha'ilon min habor esrim v'chamesh amo. The tree must be distanced from a pit. The tree is, we'll call the mazik, the pit. It is inanimate. It's stagnant. It is therefore where it is, and it doesn't move. Hence, it will be portrayed as the victim. of the tree roots, possibly eroding the bottom of the pit or growing through the side walls of the pit. So the pit is the victim. A tree must be kept at a distance of 25 amas from a pit, from the neighbor's pit. So that if a neighbor has in his courtyard a pit, and you and your property want to plant a tree, distance the tree 25 amas from the pit. U'b'chorov u'v'shikma, chorov and shikma are two different kinds of trees, specific types of trees that have very powerful root systems. Chamishim amo, the distancing that is demanded is 50 amas, bein milamalo, bein minatzad. Whether the tree is planted milamalo, uphill, we'll say uphill from a pit, or whether they're on the same plane, these figures must be maintained. Im habor kodam, if the pit was there first, then someone planted a tree in such a way that it eventually will cause damage, kotseitz v'nosein domen, the tree is cut down. However, the pit owner must compensate the one who planted the tree. And there's explanations given for that. When the tree was planted at that point, it wasn't an issue of imminent damage, but only after years of growth would the damage be realized. So in cutting down the tree, which he has to do because the pit was there first, nevertheless, the tree owner gets compensation from the pit owner. Im ho'ilan kidam lo yokutz, if the tree was planted first and someone decided to dig a pit in his property within the 25 amos, the tree can remain. Sofek ze kodam, sofek ze kodam lo yokutz, if there's a doubt which came first, so the tree is not cut down. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af al pi shabor kodemes lilon, even if the pit was there first, lo yokutz, the tree is not to be cut down. Now, we said before that the tree was like the mazik. So, even if the pit was there first, the tree that's planted later is not cut down. Each one is doing within their own properties permissible activity. In other words, what I do in my property is of no concern to you, what you do in your property. That would seem to be Rabbi Yossi's approach. Alma, well, from here you see, Rabbi Yossi sovral anizak laharchik es atzmo. It would be the obligation of the victim, if he wants to preserve his well-being, so he'll have to distance himself. V'rabonon savri al hamazik laharchik es atzmo. The Rabbonon hold that the mazik, the tree owner, has to distance himself. And we saw that if the pit was there first, we cut down the tree. The tree in that case was clearly a antagonistic force. According to Rabbi Yossi, no, even if the pit was there first, we do not cut down the tree. You want to preserve your pit, so dig it somewhere else. So Rabbi Yossi then, as we said, indicates that Nisak has to distance himself. So from this Tanaic source, it's very clear, the positions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan are very clear. Ela, Iika Lameimar Depligi, if you want to go back to analyze the Amoraic Machlokas we saw above between Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Eloi, we can analyze that Machlokas in terms of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan over here. So if you want to say the pligi, the plukta de Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbonon de Hasam komifligi, the Amoreic controversy where Rabbi Eloi said that the lower guy has to fix the ceiling, in other words, to prevent himself from being damaged, that's like Rabbi Yossi, who said that the nizak has to be marchik es atzmo, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who said that the upper guy has to repair the plaster. The upper guy is there, the perpetrator. He would be Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the Amora, would be like the Rabbonon we just saw in this Tanaic source, where the Mazik has to distance himself. So up to this point, we've taken care of the Machlokas Amoroyim, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Eloi. paralleled them to a machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonan from Bava Basra. The question remains, Rabbi Yossi Rabbonan dehacha b'mai pligi. In our Mishnah, where we saw Rabbi Yossi Rabbonan arguing, where Rabbi Yossi says the upper one has to provide the plaster, and the Rabbonan said that the lower fellow provides the plaster. What are they arguing about? Now, Rashi adds that we're dealing with a situation where the lower guy is not complaining about water. It's not like the story we saw above with someone washing his hands and the water affecting negatively the fellow below, causing him to protest. Not so in our Mishnah. So what is the issue between them? The issue is b'chozek tikra komifligi. The Rashi adds quite a bit of understanding to this, and we'll look at the Rashi together on the first line under the Gemara text, first wide line in Rashi. In the middle, you see we have a little star there to help you find it immediately. B'chizuke tikra ukshein hatachton soek, and the situation is where the lower guy is not screaming. She'eno chosh lemeimov, he's not concerned with the water. Ela ha'ilyon tzoek v'omer, rather it's the upper guy that's complaining and saying kishani dorech al anisora, when I walk on the planks, heim mina aneim, they shake. Vani doyeg shemot ta'afoch ahad mehem tachti, I'm afraid that one of the planks might flip over entirely while I'm standing on it, and I'll fall. Oh, tishamet mina kaira v'tipol v'epol, or the planks, the neser, will slip off of the main beam, the kora, the main support beam, and if the plank or the board slips off the main support beam, I could fall. So the complaining individual here is actually the upper guy. That's the background to our Mishnah. And the issue then comes, the issue that needs to be analyzed is the strengthening of the ceiling, or of the lower guy, which is the floor of the upper guy, with the addition of the plaster, so the boards won't, the planks that we described before, will not move out of place. Rabbonan Savri, Ma'aziva Achzuke Tikrahu. The Rabbonan in the Mishnah who said that the lower guy has to provide the Ma'aziva is because Ma'aziva is simply a function of strengthening Tikra. Achzuke Tikra Atachton Boel Achzuke. And as far as strengthening Tikra, and I hope you remember that when we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir, the issue of the Tikra was actually everyone agreed Tikra itself is something lower guy has to provide, has to take care of. So if you say that the plaster is a form of, well, it's an extension of the tikra, so that's the opinion of the Rabbanan, that it's upon the lower guy to take care of that. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi said the upper guy has to provide the plaster. Maziva Ashviya Gumos Hu, the plaster is not there to prevent the twisting or moving of the planks. That could have been accomplished by just adding a few pegs between the planks that would have kept them in place. So what is the role of the plaster? It's to ensure that the floor is even. That's Ashvuye Gumas, literally smoothing out holes. And Ashvuye Gumas Alayon Vashvuye, smoothing out holes, smoothing out the floor, if you will, floor of the upper story, that's what the upper guy is obligated to care for. It appears to me that's not an issue that would concern the lower guy whatsoever, the smoothness of the upper floor. The Gemara continues. Eini. Now, Eini is a question, is that so? Do you notice, if you look carefully at the markings, we have a semicolon. That indicates that which follows is not a direct continuation of that which was said a moment before. But rather, we're going to ask a question on that which we set up before the Machlokas Rebeloi, who said that in the Amoraic discussion above, that the lower guy has to take care of the repairs, and we set Rebeloi up like Reb Yossi, who said that it's upon the Nizak to distance himself, and that's why Reb Eloy said that the lower guy was being victimized by the water. He has to take care of the repairs. He has to act in self-preservation. Well, is that an accurate thing to say? That where you are the victim of someone damaging you, you, the victim, have to preserve yourself? Oh, Maravashi, ki avino be Rav Kahana. When I was studying in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Havamrinon, we used to say, Moide Rav Yossi begiri delay. Rav Yossi, who in general speaks in terms of obligation upon the aggressor, the damager, he will agree that in the event that it's a function of him shooting arrows, that's a form of speech, but which means he is a direct cause of the damage, then he will be moide, Rav Yossi will be moide, that he has to solve the problem. In other words, let me repeat. Rav Yossi, who indicated earlier that the nizak has to marchik es atzmo, not so in a case where the mazik is doing the damage in a direct fashion, like one who is shooting arrows. So, if that's the case in the water story above, how can you say that Reb Eloy will parallel Reb Yossi in the tree pit picture that says that the nizak has to distance himself when you're dealing with a circumstance that the aggressor is creating direct damage? He's pouring water on his hands on the upper floor, and it's directly affecting the guy on the lower floor. So the Gemara answers, because our ability to set up Reb Eloy like Reb Yossi, who says nizak has to distance himself because there it wasn't actually direct damage. The paski maya v'hoder nafli. The water fell on the upper floor and then it dripped down at a distance and then affected the guy on the lower floor. So it wasn't direct pouring of water from upper guy landing on lower guy. In a case like that, so then it's not a situation where we would apply the statement of Reb Yossi is moide begiri delay. The Mishnah. Habayis mo'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. A lower story and an upper story that belonged to two people, and it collapsed. Omar balo aliyah lebal habayis livnos. The owner of the upper story says to the owner of the lower story, rebuild your lower story. With that, then I will be able to rebuild my upper story. V'lu'eino rotze livnos, and the lower story owner doesn't want to build. Hare bal hu'aliyo boine es habayis v'dor b'soicha. The procedure according to the Tanakhama is that the owner of the upper story rebuilds the lower story, dwells in there, achi tein lo es yitziyosav, until the owner of the lower story, the original owner, pays this man his expenses. Reb Yehuda Oimer, af ze dor besoch shel chavero tzorcha alos lo schar. In a case like that, where the owner of the upper story is going to dwell in the lower story, he's going to have to pay rent to the owner, to the original owner of the lower story. You have a situation of zenene, he is benefiting, and while the owner is not losing, he doesn't want to build anyway. It is the opinion of Reb Yehuda that when you are benefiting, you have to pay. You've got to pay for what you benefit, regardless of whether it's at the expense of the other guy. Even if it's not at the expense of the other guy, if you're benefiting, you have to pay for it. Elo bal hu'aliyo boina es habayis ve'es hu'aliyo. Rather, according to Rebuta, the owner of the upper story rebuilds the lower story and an upper story. Umekara es ha'aliyona, and he puts a roof on the upper structure. Ve'yoshev babayis achite lo es yitziyosav. And he will continue to live in the lower structure until the upper guy comes up with the funds to cover the building expenses. What does Reb Yehuda gain by this? He's created a situation where the upper guy is not benefiting. He's rebuilt the entire structure. He could, technically speaking, live in the upper floor. So when he moves into the lower floor, he is not benefiting. Oh, so in a case like that, well, you're not benefiting, so then you're not expected to pay. We take a look together at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is found five lines from the end. Omar Vihuda, Afze, Dor Besoch Shel Chaviro. Im kein hu af bal ha'aliyo zu kishu chozer moisov leze shu dor besoch shelo vinami ze lo choser doha balav hochi lo havi boni lo iu tzorch lalos lo schar deze mionene. If you're going to follow the approach of the Tanakama, so then he the upper story guy will be in the position of benefiting, even though the lower guy isn't losing. As we said, he doesn't want to build anyway. If not for the lower structure, the upper guy would have no place to live. And Rebuta is of the opinion that when one is benefiting, even if the other party is not losing out, you have to pay. And if he doesn't pay rental, merci caribis, it will appear as if there is interest. You'll ask, where does interest figure in over here? Well, it's like this. The upper guy will have rebuilt the lower structure. He will eventually get paid for everything he laid out, so that you might view the laying out of the funds like a type of loan. He's going to get that back, and in the meantime, he will have also benefited from the living in the lower structure. So therefore, in order to circumvent the ribbis problem, the appearance of interest, we say that the fellow who owned the upper story, who's now rebuilt the lower story, would have to pay rental. If you want to create a situation where there will be no rental paid, then Rabbi Yehuda went on to say, create a situation where the upper guy is not even considered a beneficiary. He's not nehene. And that, as we said, is accomplished when the upper fellow would rebuild not only the lower structure, but the upper part as well. We now continue with the Gemara on Omid Beis. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, B'shloisha Mekaymois, Shana Lanu Rabbi Yehuda Asur LaAdam Shiyana Mimamon Chavero. Notice, first of all, we have a long point. Rabbi Yochanan opens up this Gemara with the statement that in three places we find where Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden for one to benefit without paying from someone else's property. The triangle that you see here is the beginning of a series marking, and if we glance at the side of the Gemara on the margin, we see our Nosei / Mivne heading, a triangle appears. Gimel Mekamos Rabbi Yehuda, Lofi Rabbi Yochanan, three places where Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I emphasize this discussion is only according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara later will reject this analysis. But in the meantime, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mar'eh she'asu lodom she'enem momon she'enem mi momon chavero, and it's prohibited for one to benefit for free from someone else's possessions. Bahem sheikh, in the continuation, Hagemara doicha ve'emeres shadinim elu sh'Rabbi Yehuda tuliyim b'shikulim achirim. The three halachas that we will see now are really dependent on other factors. So let us now turn back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan just told us that in three places Rabbi Yehuda says or declares in other words that it is forbidden to benefit for free, to simply be one-sided. You benefit without paying from mamon chavera, from other people's possessions. Chadoha, one example is our Mishnah, where we described already the opinion of Rebbe, where if the upper guy were to rebuild a lower story alone and then dwell in that and eventually get his expenses covered by the owner of the lower structure, if he, the upper guy, lives there without paying, so he is benefiting from property that belongs to someone else free, and that can't be. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said that he would have to pay rent. Idoch mahi, the other example, we have another two examples. What are they? Disnan. And this case is probably familiar because we've seen it in numerous occasions in recent masechtas. Hanoisein tzemer letzabel lezvo lo'odom v'tzova shochar. Person gave raw wool to a dyer to dye red, and what had happened? He dyed it black. Shochar v'tzova lo'odom. You expected him to dye it black, and he dyed it red. Rabbi Meir Oimer noisein loy demei tzimro. The worker keeps the wool and pays the customer the value of the original raw wool. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're going to leave things like that, in other words, you're going to say that the worker keeps the wool and simply pays for the raw wool, it ends up that he benefited from the efforts of the customer in acquiring the wool, from going to the wool market, dealing with vendors, getting the wool, and finally bringing it here to the dyer. That benefit, we'll say saving of time and energy, is something that, according to Rebbe Meir, the worker gets for free. He doesn't pay for that. He pays simply for the value of raw wool. Rabbi Yehuda says that cannot be. Therefore, how does Rabbi Yehuda deal with this? He says that the customer will get the dyed wool. We're not going to leave the dyed wool by the worker and let the worker get away with simply paying for original raw wool. But rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im ha-shevach yoyser al ha-hoitzah, if the improved value of the dyed wool exceeds the value of expenses made by the worker, then the customer, no sin lo ha-yitzah, he will give the worker the worker's expenses, and customer gets the dyed wool, albeit not according to his specifications, but it's worth more. If the dyed wool increased in value, however, the expenses exceeded that increase in value, then the customer is noisein lo es ha-shevach. He gives the worker the value of the increase in value. Ve'idoch mai hi. What's the third example where we see Rabbi Yehuda taking a position that reflects the idea of osur li'odom shi'ena mimamon chavero? Tisnan. The following Tanaic source. Mishapora miksas chovo. Someone who paid off his debt in part. So there's a balance that is outstanding. Ve'hishlish eshtoro. And the document which indicates that there is a debt was entrusted by a third party. Rashi adds the debtor was afraid after paying off part of the debt that the creditor would come and collect the entire amount. So it was decided that the bill of collection should be entrusted to a sholish, a third party. The Omar lo, and the debtor, the loive, declares, Im ein ani noisei loch mikan viadzman ploni. He tells the sholish, if I don't pay the balance by a certain time, and he makes reference to a specific point in time, tein lo shtoro. So give the bill of collection back to the creditor. Well, by doing that, the creditor, in fact, would be able to collect the full amount. So he will not only have already received partial payment, but he'll go and recollect now the full amount. Higias man velo nosan. Time came, and the borrower, the debtor, didn't pay up the debt. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitain. Rabbi Yossi says that the sholish, the third party, shall give the bill of collection back to the creditor. And Rabbi Omer Lo Yitain. And Rabbi Yossi says, absolutely not. Because if that were done, so then the creditor will be benefiting the Mamon Chavero. In other words, he will not be collecting just the debt, but also the on top of the original full amount, he will also have received the original partial amount as well. Well, that's forbidden to benefit Mimomon Chavero. The Gemara now, in looking at these cases, questions. And there you'll notice we have a long dechia, long rejection marking. We're rejecting the claim that the sources above reflect Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Osir Lodim Shena Mimomon Chavero. Mimai, who says as was claimed as what Rabbi Yochanan said? Dilmo Ad Kan Lokam Rabbi Yehuda Hocha. It could be that which Rabbi Yehuda requires payment on the part in our Mishnah of a fellow who rebuilt a lower story and alone. He rebuilt the other guy's lower story, and he will be getting, eventually he'll get his expenses back, so whatever he laid out, he'll get compensated for that. Rabbi Yehuda said the upper story owner who's living in this lower story has to pay rent, has to pay schar. Why? Not because of Osulonim Shenami Momon Chavero, that it's forbidden to derive benefit from someone else's property, but because there's a real loss that the upper fellow is causing. Mishum Deika Shachru Risa. Shachriso literally means blackening. The idea of blackening is as follows. The upper guy will rebuild the lower story, eventually get paid in full for his expenses. In the meantime, the lower guy, until that happens, the upper guy is going to be living in this structure. There's natural wear and tear on the property, natural darkening of the walls. In reality, the upper guy who rebuilt the lower structure is getting paid expenses for creating a brand new structure. By the time the lower guy comes up with the money to pay for those expenses and moves in, he is moving into a used structure. So in paying for the expenses, he paid for a new structure, and he's going to get something used. Ah, that demands a payment on the part of the upper guy to compensate for that loss, so to speak. So that the Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that says that if the upper guy rebuilds just the lower structure, he must pay as well as receiving his expenses. He's paying because he's causing shachariso, he was causing a darkening of the walls. And I'd like to add, therefore, that it's not a payment because ze nehene veze lo choser, but it's ze nehene veze choser. The lower guy is actually losing out in the sense that he paid for a new structure. If he doesn't receive some additional compensation, he had paid for a new structure and getting a used structure. So that's the reason, that's what governs Rabbi Yehuda's decision as far as the Mishnah is concerned. And I hope we explained clearly then that the Mishnah's, Rabbi Yehuda's requirement of upper guy to pay for his tenure in the rebuilt lower structure is not a function of osur l'adam shi'ena mimamon chavero, but it's a function of his act causing actual loss, therefore he has to compensate. Inami, we continue to the second case. Litzvoya l'yadam etzava shachar. The ruling of Rabbi Yehuda over there that the customer gets the wool and the worker, the dyer, gets the lower end of the deal. If the shevach was greater than the yitziah, so he gets just the yitziah. If the yitziah was greater than the shevach, he gets just the shevach. Mishum deka mishane. It's because the worker changed from the instructions that he had received. He deviated. Disnan. He who changes, he who deviates from the instructions he received, so he has his hand literally is on the lower, meaning he must absorb the weaker end of the deal. As we said before, number three, umi shepora mixas chovo nami, the case of the partial payment of the bill of collection and the subsequent objection of Rabbi Yehuda to have it returned to the Malveh, that ruling is also not a function of Osir Le'odim Shenemi Momon Chavero, but that's because that whole deal was called an Asmachta. So as the Gemara says, that case of Mishav Mitzvah Chovanami Havi Asmachta. Now, asmach is a term we've explained in recent shurim on several occasions. An asmachta is a condition or a statement made by one of the parties in a deal where he is not really serious about what he's saying, meaning he might state a condition but doesn't think at the time that he's speaking that those conditions will ever come to be, and that he'll have to therefore perform according to the terms stated under the context of those conditions. If you don't think, you know, as you can make a condition but you don't think it's ever going to come to be, so how serious are you really when you're stating those conditions? To bring it down to practicality, a person paid off part of his debt. And then he says, well, if I don't pay up by a certain time, then give the shtar back to the creditors. They collect the whole amount. Is that person really serious? Does he really think that he's not going to pay up on time? He personally thinks that he's going to pay up by that date. And therefore, when he said, if I don't pay up by that date, well, then give the shtar back to the malve, to the creditor, he's not serious about that because he doesn't think that that date's going to ever arrive without his having paid up already beforehand. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that statements of that nature, lo koni, are not binding. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, in the margin, we have our nosei slash mivne heading. A diamond appears together with a double underline. In the Gemara, you can see we've highlighted words tachton and elyon and the expression habo lishanos. We'll continue reading our note. Dayorim sheroitzim lishanos hamivne shelahem shenofal. Dwellers who want to reconstruct a structure that had fallen. Ubainin oisoi mechadosh, and their intention is to rebuild it anew. However, betoisefes oi bahavchosa mimashe kodem, either with addition or diminishing of what was there beforehand, originally. So if we're going to see later in the Gemara is going to present a rule. And the rule will tell us that if you are a lower structure, if you're the owner of a lower structure, anything that you do to increase the strength of the lower structure, that will be fine. You're increasing the strength of the lower structure to support a structure above it. That's to the benefit of the upper fellow. So you're increasing the strength of the lower structure. And how does that come to be? Well, you might create thicker walls. You might reduce the amount of windows. A window is obviously a gap in a wall. If you fill up the wall, which originally had a window in it, you fill it with stone. It's completely stone or brick, so it's a stronger wall. So any change that works to increase the strength of the lower structure, that is welcome. If you had a wall, let us say, in the original structure that had no windows, and now you plan to put windows in the rebuilt wall, you're weakening it. Or if you had originally a wall made of thick building materials and you want to rebuild it with thinner materials, so you're reducing the strength, that would be prohibited. The opposite is the case with regard to the upper structure. If the upper structure in rebuilding wants to rebuild something that will be heavier than the original upper structure, that is not allowed. You can't impose damage through weakening the lower person structure by having a weightier, heavier upper structure. If, however, in establishing the changes, you're going to actually lighten the upper structure, that's acceptable. So that first we have to establish who we're talking about. Are we talking about the lower guy or the upper guy? And then, are we decreasing strength or increasing strength? Decreasing weight, increasing weight? The Gemara. Omar Ravacha bar Ado mishmei de'ula. Tachton habo l'shanos. And notice just the markings, how we contrast this with the diamond later. Elyoin habo shebo l'shanos. L'shanos means to change. There was an original structure made of specific building materials with walls that had a specific number of windows in it. And now he's coming to rebuild it in a changed fashion. So if he wants to make the change big veal, that means to upgrade it from gozis. Gozis is a building material that's used for making walls, and it measures 5 tfochim in thickness. He wants to change to gvil. Gvil measures 6 tfochim in thickness. So if his shinui, if his change is big veal from gozis, that's okay. We listen to him. We accept that. However, big gozis, if the change is to gozis, meaning originally it was gvil, and now he wants to use gozis, ein shomen lo. In doing so, he would be reducing it from an original wall of 6 handbreadths in thickness to something gozes 5 handbreadths in thickness. Two more examples. Bekfisin shomenlo. He wants to change to kfisim. Kfisim from what? From something called levanim. The levanim, without getting into detail, is a building material. Levanim is sometimes translated as bricks. But the main thing is, it was a building material that used to make walls 3 tefachim thick. Now you want to change from the levanim, from the 3 thickness, to kfisim. Kfisim represents a material that is 4 tefachim in thickness. So you want to upgrade your lower structure. The tachton is the lower structure. By using kfisim when you originally were using levanim, listen, we heat him, we accept that. However, bilevanim, if your change is 2 bricks to levanim from kfisim, that ain shomenlo, we won't allow the tachton to do that. He's rebuilding a weaker type wall than there originally had been. This, of course, I mentioned earlier, this is all in anticipation of the, once the lower structure is rebuilt, the owner of the upper structure is going to want to rebuild his. So he doesn't want to be on weaker ground, so to speak, on a shakier foundation than he was originally. We continue with other changes vis-a-vis building materials. L'sachek ba'arozim shomilo. He wants to change for as far as creating ceiling beams, which will also be flooring for the upper guy, he wants to change to arozim. It's a type of wood from shikmim, from another type of wood. Shomino, we listen to him, we accept that. But shikmim and shomino, if he wants to downgrade from arozim to shikmim, we don't listen to him. Lemayit b'chalonos, regarding the tachton, if he wants to put in fewer windows than originally had been there, shomino, you want to put fewer windows, it means you want to make solid walls. Then we would accept. L'harbiz b'chalonos ain shomino, if he wants to add number of windows, that we don't accept. L'agbia ain shomino. L'ma'et shomin lo. If he wants to increase the height of the lower structure, we don't listen to him, because that's going to force the owner of the upper structure to have to walk up more stairs to get to his upper dwelling. If the lower guy wants to rebuild a shorter structure, reduce the height, then shomin lo. We would listen to that. It doesn't impose any difficulty for the other guy, the upper dweller. Now we go through the same type of Gemara, just all in the opposite frame, opposite direction. Elio and Shibola Shana's upper guy now wants to rebuild the attic in a changed form. Begozis Shomin Lo. Begvil ain't Shomin Lo. He wants to go from Gvil, which was, we said, were 6 tefach thick walls, to Gozis. He wants to go to a lighter, to a thinner wall, only 5 tefachim. So he wants to downgrade the thickness, the weight that we listen to. We're dealing with an upper structure, so there's less weight on the lower structure. Begvil ain't Shomin Lo. If he wants to go from Gozis to Gvil, we don't listen to him. Bekfisin ain't Shomin Lo. He wants to go from Levanim to Kfisim. The Kfisim are thicker than the Levanim, so we don't listen to him. However, Bilevanim, if he wants to downgrade from Kfisim to Levanim, he's downgrading from a thickness of 4 to a thickness of 3. And we're dealing with the upper guy. So then, Shomin Lo. We listen to him. We heed that request. Similarly, with regard to the floor material, be'arozim ein shomelo. If he wants to upgrade from shikma to arozim, we don't listen to him. He's adding weight. B'shikma, if he wants to change from arozim to shikma, shomelo, we listen to him. L'rabbis b'chalon ein shomelo. If he wants to rebuild an upper story with more windows in the walls than originally were there, we accept that. It's beneficial to the lower guy to have an upper guy with more windows. That means there's less actual stone or brick forming walls. However, lemay b'chalonos, if originally there was a certain number of windows in the upper story, and now he wants to rebuild it with fewer windows, that means a wall of greater weight than will be up there. Ein shomen lo, we don't listen to him. Lahagbia ein shomen lo, lemay ein shomen lo. If the upper fellow wants to lahagbia, build a structure that's taller than the original one, so there we will not listen to him. Lemayit shomen lo, if it's going to be a shorter structure, then we listen to him. He's once again creating something of lesser threat to the lower guy. So as we said, just to read the last issue again, lahagbia in shomelo, if upper guy wants to create a taller structure, we don't listen to him. Lemait shomelo, if he wants to create a shorter structure, then we accept that. Period. Now a new point. Ein lo lozeh velo lozeh mai. Neither one of the parties, upper party nor lower party, have the means of rebuilding their fallen structure. What do we do now? Rashi says a pshat that Tosfos disagrees with, but Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text says, "Ein lo lo lozeh v'lo lozeh livnos." They don't have the means of rebuilding. Shaniyim ain't, they're impoverished. And here Rashi adds something. What creates a sense of urgency here is that the owner of the ground upon which this structure is located, he wants to sell the ground. Rashi continues, "My is lay le baal aliyah b'karka olo." Does the baal aliyah have any say, any holding in this ground? I think it's of value to add the comment, the interpretation of Tosfos. Tosfos in Dibur Masul Lo Lozeh V'Lo Lozeh quotes the Re on explaining what's going on here. You have these two parties that owned a structure, upper story, lower story, collapsed. Neither one has the means of paying up. So the Re says that we're talking about a case where the owner of the lower structure, now that the structure is non-existent, he wants to plant the ground on which the structure stood. The owner of the aliyah, the upper story, says, "I want to plant also. I also have a holding in this ground." So he claims. Or maybe the owner of the lower structure can say, "What do you mean? You don't have any holding in the ground. Your whole association in this area was simply to build something upon my lower structure." How do we settle the matter? So now we continue in the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Oimer, Tachta Notel Shnei Chalokim V'Elyon Shlish. Rabbi Nosson says it's divided two-thirds, one-third. Two-thirds to lower structure owner, two-thirds of the ground goes to him, one-third to the upper structure owner. And Achirim, the other opinion in this source, says it's a three-quarter, one-quarter division. Omar Rabba, Nekait Rabbi Nosson B'Yodach. Rabba rules like Rabbi Nosson. He says, take Rabbi Nosson's approach. Why should we give the advantage to Rabbi Nosson's approach? Dedainahu, Rabbi Nosson was a judge, was an active judge. He didn't merely pursue the study of these topics on a, we'll call, theoretical basis, but he actually ruled concerning these topics. And being that he had that additional responsibility and achrayus, we say, to deal with real-life situations, V'nochis lumka d'dina. He went. He plummeted to the depths of the law. So Reb Nosson's one third, two thirds division represents a conclusion as a result of deep thinking and analysis. What's the explanation behind one third, two thirds? Kosovar, kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis. Now, first, what we're going to do is we're going to translate the Gemara and then offer an explanation that's based on my own thinking. And I say that with all the due modesty because I don't generally like to express ideas unless I can show you a source in a sefer for it. Not so in this case. So in the meantime, first the translation. Kosovar, Rabbi Nosson holds, kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis, how much does the presence of an upper structure diminish from the longevity of the lower structure? Tilsa, one third. Namely, if, just let's use numbers just to illustrate matters. If a structure would have, a single story structure would have lasted 99 years. Now, by building a second story upon it, the lower structure is going to last 66 years. In other words, one third of the lifespan will be reduced. So because the presence of the upper structure reduces the lifespan of the lower structure by a third, Hilkoch is le tilsa. Therefore, the upper structure receives only one third. Now, what is, my understanding of this is that without any analysis, you have two owners of a constructed property sitting upon a piece of land. Two owners, you would have thought, without much analysis, they should split it equally. 50% to this guy and 50% to that guy. So we say, Reb Nosson suggests, and I'm adding here again, I emphasize this is my own opinion, I don't have a source for this, but Reb Nosson says, it's not equitable to divide it 50-50, because the presence of the upper guy causes a diminishing of the lower structure. And we already illustrated by translating more by one third. So whereas you might have thought they should divide 50-50, 50% each one of the ground, if we convert the 50-50 into fractions, let us say 3/6 of the ground to one party, to the lower structure owner, 3/6 to the upper structure owner. However, that lower structure owner was adversely affected by the upper structure by a third. So instead, so what are we going to do? We'll take the 3/6 that the upper structure should have received if it was a 50-50 division, and we'll reduce it. We'll reduce his 3/6 by a third. Means we'll take off one of the 3/6. How much is he left with? 2/6. Oh, 2/6 happens to be a third. So it's one third for upper structure owner and 2/3 for lower structure owner. So that the extra, that extra amount, looks like the extra sixth that the lower property owner benefits represents that a third of what the upper fellow would have expected to receive. But in view of the fact that he creates a reduction in terms of lifespan of lower structure, so he has to pay for that, so to speak, by losing a third of his portion in the land, leaving the division, as we just said, 2/3 for lower structure, 1/3 for upper structure. The Mishnah. V'chein beis habad shu bonui besela v'gino achas al gabov. You'll see the similarity between this mission and that which we had before. Hence, the Mishnah begins with v'chein, and similarly. First, a description of the scenario. You have a beis habad is an olive press. And the olive press, in this case, was built into, we'll say, a cave, or carved out bedrock. Atop the cave, or bedrock, atop that, there is a ceiling or a roof to it. The roof is made of soil. Under the soil, under a certain thickness of soil, is the bedrock that we just mentioned. And within that hollow, someone had set up an olive press. So the Mishnah says, if you have a beis habad that's built into rock, v'gino achas al gabov, and there's a garden, a vegetable patch on top, v'nifchas, and there developed a hole in the ground, which penetrated into the rock. So now, if you're standing in the beis habad in that olive press within the cave, you'll notice that the ceiling has a hole in it. Hare bal hagino yored v'zorea lemato, with the garden now with a gaping hole in the garden, the owner of the garden descends into the cave and plants there. Achiase lebeis bado kifin, until the owner of the beis habad repairs the ceiling. Kifin has to do with archwork. That would be the method of repair of packing in dirt into the ceiling of this cave that I don't want to say caved in. It's like a too obvious a pun, but if it helps the understandings, we'll say it caved in. The responsibility then is upon the owner of the lower facility to repair the hole that developed above. Hakosel v'ho'ilon shenoflu l'rishus harabim v'heziku, a wall or a tree that fell into a public area and caused damage. Potter milashalem. Rashi says at the very bottom, Potter milashalem, demai havi leilem evad onusu. You have a situation that was beyond anyone's control. What could he have done? A wall all of a sudden collapses, a tree falls down into a public area. So they're exempt from having to compensate. If the court assigned an amount of time to cut down the tree, to remove the wall, and the tree fell or the wall collapsed, besoch hazman poter, if it's within the time allocated by the court, these fell. In other words, they fell prematurely, so the owner is exempt. Li'achar hazman chayav, if however the time established by the court lapsed. I didn't mention at the outset, but the court had noticed that these were precarious. The wall or the tree had there was a potential threat that they posed. So they assigned an amount of time. If they fell down prematurely, we just said the owner of the wall or tree is exempt. If, however, the owner did not act within the time frame established by the court and the item fell, they do have to compensate. Mi shohaya koisloi somach leginas chavero venofal. Here we have a totally new discussion. Someone had a wall next to someone's gino, a vegetable patch, and the wall fell down. the Omar lo penei avonecha, and the owner of the vegetable patch said to the owner of the wall, clear away your stones. The Omar lo, owner of the wall, said, and we continue at the top of the Kuf Yud Ches, he gi'ucha. Rashi says at the top, heim shelcha, the stones, they're yours, ufaneo yisan la'atzmocha, and you clear them away and keep them for yourself. Ein shomen lo, we don't accept that. In other words, the owner of the wall cannot dictate to the owner of the garden, you clear away the stones. It's true, there's compensation here in the sense that garden owner will keep the stones. It's not as if the garden owner is losing out financially. However, he, the owner of the wall, cannot dictate by saying he gi'ucha. However, let us continue this. He said, wall owner said to garden owner, you know, clear away the stones. And he said, yeah, fine, that's a good arrangement. I accept that. I'll clear away the stones and keep them for myself. That's this. Mishekibel olav, from the point that he accepted upon himself this, the garden owner accepted that offer. Then Omar lo, and then owner of wall says, ah, the stones, I really want them. Ah, but in the meantime, you invested efforts to clear away the stones. Hey, lo ches yitziosecha, bani atala shali. Here, take your expenses, whatever you expended in clearing away the stones, take them, but give me my stones. Give me what was my wall. Ain't shomen lo, we don't listen to that. You see two examples in this mission of Ain Shomanov. We don't heed, we don't cooperate with what he dictates. Now we have another example that's very similar in legal structure to the first example, and we'll have to ask ourselves later, why do you need both examples? Here's someone hired a worker. He hired a worker to clear out of his field straw and stubble. The armor low, tain, lease, hurry. And the worker said, give me my wages. We agreed that I would get paid money. Give me my money. The armor low, and the owner says, tol, masha, sita, bischocha. You know, take all the straw and stubble that you cleared away. Keep that as your pay. Ain, shomen low. We do not accept that. In other words, the boss, the employer there, he can't dictate that. Rashi points out, Ein Shomen Lo, on the fourth line from the top, Afagav de Bechol Duchti, even though in all other places where you have financial debts as the subject of discussion, Islay, we hold, Shove Kesef Ke Kesef, that which has money value is the same as cash. And here the straw and stubble have money value, and let us assume that the straw and stubble in this case that he cleared away equals in value the wages he would have expected. Hacha gabi poyel bal tolin schoruksiv. In the case of a worker, the posuk says that you shall not lo solim pula sochir etzlocha ad boker, or itcho ad boker. And since the posuk uses the word schoro, my da'asni bahade mashma, it implies that which was agreed upon initially to be the source of pay, that's what the employer must pay. This is in contrast to loans that need to be paid up. If the malve is offered by a love something that's other than cash, so we say that shove kesef ke kesef, they're the lender would have to accept any form of payment that is the same value as the cash. Not so in the case of a worker where there were prearranged terms as to how he would be paid. So with that in mind, we can understand why the Mishnah rules Ein Shomen Lo, even though the employer offers an alternative means of payment to the worker. Now, as we saw before, let us say, given the same story, the worker actually accepted that arrangement. And then the owner, who had hired him to clear away this drawn stubble, all of a sudden wants this drawn stubble back. Misha kibel alav. Once the worker accepted that arrangement and cleared away the straw and stubble, v'yamalo heilach scharcho v'ani atola shili. Here, take your wages in cash, and I'll take that which is mine, namely the straw and stubble. Ain shomino, we don't listen to him. We don't listen to the employer. And we continue in the Gemara, and you'll notice that the issue of the collapsed cave ceiling is going to be, in terms of dimensions or amount, a machlokas rav and shmuel, just like we saw in the case of the collapsed ceiling of the house with an upper story built over it. Nifchisa rav omar beruba ushmuel omar bearba. Rav says that the din of the Mishnah, where the upper story, where the garden owner can insist on descending into the cave and planting the cave floor, is only if the garden had collapsed in its majority. The majority of the garden collapsed. When I speak of the garden is, it corresponds to the cave ceiling. And Shmuel says, for Rav Omar Beruba, Avol Barba, but when it comes to a mere four, Odom Zorea Chetzio Lamato VeChetzio Lamala, a person will plant its within the realm of say normal behavior or acceptability for a person to plant a little above and a little below. So he'll, if it's a gap in his garden of four, so then the he'll plant in the cave four an area of, that measures four to compensate for that hole. Only if, according to Rav, only if the majority of the garden fell in, only then can he move into the cave and plant it. Shmuel, he says, four. Now, Rav said, let's read that again. Rav Omar Baruba, Avol Ba'arba, when it comes to four, Odom Zorea, Chetzio Lamato, VeChetzio Lamalo. The word Chetzio literally means half, but we can say it means part. Ushmuel Omar Ba'arba. Even if the hole in the garden is a mere four, Ein Odom Zorea, Chetzio Lamato, VeChetzio Lamalo. We can't expect of a person to plant part above and part below. So if a hole of four developed, the garden owner can put himself down in the cave and plant the entire cave. I should point out, according to the Rashash, that the four that we've been speaking of is really four tfachim, arba'a, as opposed to the Gemara text as it is, which might lead you to think it's a different measure. So we'll say it's four tfachim, similar to the case of the house and attic. Now, having said all of that, does this not sound repetitious? Do I need to have the machlokis Rav and Shmuel stated twice? So the Gemara answers, Tzricha, I need this. Now, by the way, we have a marking. We have a volcano shape and also a long marking on the side. You see under the Mivneh heading, Tzrichusa. This means the necessity, L'dugmos hakfulos shemofios b'mishnayas. We seem to have a double teaching of the points in the Mishnayas, along with the explanation of Rav and Shmuel. What's the necessity of having these examples repeated? So number one involves chorim, holes, we had in the bedira, in a flat, and begina, the garden. And number two, we have in our Mishnah two examples of lekichas achafotzim b'schar pu'ula, taking of objects in lieu of wages. We had one example, Aleph, Ba'avonim Shenaflu, stones that comprised the wall that fell. And Beis, Upoil Betevin Bekash, the worker with regard to the straw and stubble. As far as this first issue, hole in floors, Utsricha, I need the two examples. We mentioned the example of the flat and of the garden. Diyashmiran Dira, had we featured the example of the flat, Baha Koma Shmuel, there Shmuel said four. Mishum Dolo Avidi Inshi, the diary Purta Hocha Upurta Hocha. We can't expect of people to split their dwelling a little here and a little there. Aval Inyan Zriya, with regard to planting, Avidi Inshi Dezari Ocha Purta Vocha Purta. It's not unusual for people to plant a little here and a little there. Emo Moda Le Larav. Maybe Shmuel would have agreed with Rav under those circumstances that until the cave ceiling falls in, the majority of it, until that point, the garden owner can't park himself in the cave and cultivate it. So, therefore, in addition to teaching about the flat, it was necessary to present the issue of the garden, so as to realize that Shmuel will tell us that the garden owner, even with four, a gap of four, a hole of four, can move downstairs into the Beis Chabad. V'itmar b'hach, and had we taught the case of the Beis Chabad, the cave and the garden, b'hach koma Rav. Here Rav said his din, that only when it's a majority cave-in can the upper guy, garden guy, move into the cave. Avol b'ha, in the case of a dwelling. Emo modele l'shmuel. I might have thought that Rav would concede to Shmuel that even with a gap of four tfachim, that gives license to the attic guy to move down into the lower floor. Tzricha. Therefore, that case has to be taught as well. That even then, even in a case of a dwelling, Rav does not allow upper guy to move down until it's a hole constituting the majority of the upper guy's floor. Nosan Lozman, we saw in the Mishnah that if the court had given time for a person to clear away the precarious entity, and it fell down within that time, so he is responsible for the damages. Vekamazman based, and what is that time? What is the court time? Om Rabbi Yochanan Shloshim Yom, 30 days. We have a quote from the Mishnah describing a person whose wall fell down into the neighbor's property, fell into his gina, his garden, and the owner of the wall offered, instead of clearing away the stones, he said to the garden owner, You clear away the stones and keep them. The Mishnah said, we don't listen to the owner of the wall. He can't dictate to the garden owner to do that. However, if the garden owner initially he accepted that, the Mishnah said, Mishakid lolov, omalo, if after the garden owner accepted it, the owner of the wall said, you know, take your expenses and give me back the stones. We don't listen to him. The reference to take your expenses clues the Gemara into the following, into the reality that the garden owner actually cleared away the stones and put them into some kind of stone storage area. Now, with that background in mind, we continue in the Gemara. Ha midekatoni seifa, heilach yitziosecha. You can see that was on the second line from the top. We have a little arrow to the side. You can align it with the arrow, second line from the top. From the fact that the wall owner said to the garden owner, take your expenses and give me back my stones. Mechlal de Panino Askina. It must be that he already cleared them away. He cleared them away and put them in some storage area. And, well, at that point then, the Mishnah said, the Balabayas, the owner of the wall, cannot back out. In other words, he can't insist on recovering his stones. So, shall we infer as follows? Taimo de Paninu. The reason that the owner of the wall cannot insist on his stones is seemingly because the garden owner already removed them. Holo panino lo? But if the stones remained lying in the garden, and he didn't clear them away yet, there's room to think that the owner of the wall could ask for his stones back. Well, am I? Why should that be? Why should, even at the, we'll call this earlier point in time, why should the owner be able to insist on getting his stones back? V'tikne le sodehu. Why doesn't the field or the property of the garden owner, the garden itself, acquire on his, the garden owner's, behalf? The Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Chatzero shel Adam kaina lo shel amidaitu. A person's courtyard has the ability of acquiring for him even without his knowledge. So why are we led to believe that we'll call it the point of no return on the as far as the wall owner is concerned is from this later point? Even from an earlier point, he should not have been able to reclaim his stones. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is it that we say Chatzero Shalom Kainelo Shalom Idai, the person's courtyard has the ability to acquire on his behalf? Hecha the Kamechave Laaknuyele. That's where the owner of whatever the item that's in question, the item to be acquired, has the intention of transferring ownership. In our case, imagine that the owner of the stones wants to grant ownership to the garden owner. Then we would say that the garden has the power to acquire on his behalf. Avol hocha, in the case of our Mishnah, when the wall owner proposed, you know what, you take the stones, that wasn't an actual offer of ownership. Ishtemutihu dekom ishtamitlei. It was simply a means of, let's say, avoiding responsibility. The owner of the wall, i.e. stones, was trying to avoid having to remove them. But just to repeat, it wasn't a real offer of ownership per se. And as a result, we can't apply the ruling of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina to favor the garden owner by virtue of Chatzero Shalom Kenelo Shalom Midaito. That wouldn't have operated over here. Hence, we came to the conclusion that the point of no return was only once the garden owner actually cleared them away and put them in storage. We mentioned earlier that there seemed to be a second example of redundancy. Two cases were taught in our Mishnah of the offer to a worker of, say, of compensation other than payment of his wages. This was the second case where a person who owned a field, he employed someone to remove the straw and stubble from the field, and when the worker asked for his wages, owner said, you know, keep the straw and stubble as your payment. We saw that just earlier with regard to the garden owner, where the owner of the wall said, eh, keep the stones as your payment. Why do I need two examples for basically the same thing? Utsricha, I need both examples. Dieshmina lahachka maisa, the removal of the stones. Dechiyomale higiucha ein shomin lo. In that case, where the wall owner said, keep the stones, there we don't listen to him. Mishum deles le agro gabe. There was no claim of wages to speak of. Aval haha, in the case of the worker, I should say, let me just add, when we say there was no claim of wages, there was no debt that had been established. It was simply stones fell into someone's garden. It was just an issue of clearing them away, but there was no issue of work invested and expected pay. Aval haha, in the case of a hired worker, was hired to clear away the straw and stubble. The is le agro gabe. The worker has a claim, a money claim for employment. He invested efforts that created a debt on the part of the owner to pay the worker. Oh, so where you have a setup like that, Amo Shomin Lo, there. It might sound ironic, but over there was reason to think that maybe we would listen to the employer in his suggestion to the worker, take the straw and stubble instead of actual cash. The Amri and she, there's a common saying, Mimori Rashvasoch, from he who owes you money, Pori Ephra, accept even bran. In other words, accept even whatever, as long as it has money equivalency to it, it has money value to it, take it. Take whatever you can get, so to speak. So we might have thought that because of that idea, Mimori Rashvisoch Pori Ephra, the worker should be able to insist that the worker keeps the straw and stubble as his pay. It's the equivalent, it's like the brand. V'yashmin and Hocha, and had the Mishnah featured only that case of the worker and the straw and stubble. Haha, mishikiba lo vein shomin lo, mishum di isle agro gabe. It could be that maybe only in that case, once the worker accepted the straw and stubble, then the employer can't back out because it was a function of a debt that was owed, and here it was accepted to accept the cash equivalent in straw and stubble. And once the worker accepts it, that's it. He acquires it as his pay. Aval hacha de lesle agro gabe. But in the case of the garden and the stone wall that fell, the stones that fell into the garden, where there wasn't a pre-established debt that needed to be paid, Amos Shomenlo, maybe we would listen to the wall owner and he could insist on their return. Even after the garden owner accepted the stones accepted the offer to keep the stones. Tzricha, therefore, even we need to tell you that in that case as well, once the garden owner accepts the stones and clears them away, owner of wall of stones cannot back out. Rashi adds over here something very interesting. Tzricha, Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, the ain shomin lo, we don't listen to him, the kanyo le chatzero, because the person's property did acquire for him. That Rashi, I think, needs some further analysis in light of what the Gemara had said, that the chatzero shalom kainolo shalomi daito doesn't operate over here. Rashi seems to indicate that it does, and that, as I say, just for a point that requires some further research, which I hope that everyone will look into. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.